May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we cruise along this Lent, looking into holy actions that we should be engaging in, we come to the fourth week of Lent, in which we observe Laetare Sunday. And that word Laetare comes from the Latin traditional opening acclamation for the day: "Rejoice, Laetare, O Jerusalem." And there's plenty of reason to rejoice. Joshua gives us a snapshot right after the Israelite men were circumcised after crossing into the Promised Land to mark the fact that God was rolling away the disgrace of Egypt from his people. St. Paul also reminds the Corinthian believers that they are new creations in Christ. Then, of course, our Savior tells one of the most heartwarming stories in all of literature, the parable of the prodigal son, in which the younger son comes back and is restored to his family. Now, each one of these passages is ample reason to get happy in God, so to speak. So we should rejoice. But along with such joy, we should also keep relying on God's grace. Israel showed their reliance on God's grace by making the switch from manna that they were used to living on in the desert and now beginning to live off of the harvest that they had in the Promised Land. The Corinthians engaged in the ministry of reconciliation, making peace between God and everyone that they came into contact with. And they did this as a way of relying on God's grace. And the younger son, who had squandered his inheritance, penitently came home, trusting that his father would indeed show him mercy. So whether we're talking about provision, right standing before God, or forgiveness for making a mess of our lives, in every case in our lessons, relying on God's grace produces tangible results in our lives here and now, not just simply unseen hope for the future. Relying on our Lord's grace is simple, but it is demanding. We rightly make much about faith in God, but we rarely map out what real faith looks like. We have a tendency to demote faith into simply an act of the head. We forget that the word creed, which comes from the Latin credo, which is how we translate "I believe" at the beginning of our creeds, well, that word originally was understood to be an action of the heart as well. To believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4 doesn't really require much in the way of trust, and it certainly doesn't seek to reorder my disordered affections. But when I affirm my faith, when I say I believe in God the Father Almighty, I am making a serious claim. I am publicly declaring my complete allegiance to the triune God, not just describing some thought that I happen to consider was true. I would rather have someone stay silent during the creed than cross their fingers while saying it. So, what does faith in action actually look like? Well, for the Israelites, it meant taking a break from their military campaign, willingly undergoing surgery of a delicate nature, and hoping that no Canaanites attacked you while all of your fighting men were laid up for about a week. It also meant no longer eating the food that you grew up eating while you were depending on it in the desert. And now you were depending on the resources of this new land where you haven't even had time to plant and reap a harvest yet. Are you willing to be that vulnerable to Jesus? Are you willing to give up the sure thing that you're used to for an unknown promise, however good that divine promise will finally prove to be? For the Corinthians, it meant seeing people through the lens of Christ, not merely a human point of view. It meant being willing to take up the call to be heaven's ambassadors. It meant genuinely taking hold of the reconciliation that Christ extends to all of us first, before commending it to others. Are you willing to live a life of true companionship with God? To view people with a heart of compassion like our Savior does, not just simply from worldly perspectives of outsider or insider, my people, a foreigner, my gender or a different gender, orthodox, heretic, political ally or enemy, producer on the economy or drain on the economy. Are you willing to be sent wherever the Spirit leads you? For both of the sons in Jesus' parable, this kind of faith meant a willingness to admit being wrong, either as someone who wasted their inheritance or someone who was jealous and judgmental of his father's forbearance. It meant being willing to put aside your own pride in favor of being humble. It meant actually having gumption enough to ask for what it was you really wanted. Are you willing to own up to your own sins and foibles? Are you willing to put your pride to the side? Are you willing to ask your Heavenly Father for what you really want? As St. James reminds us, you have not because you ask not. Relying on God's grace is hardly some passive activity. It is a wholehearted trust in a God who has nothing but goodwill toward you, a God who abounds in mercy, who wants nothing less than for you to thrive, to have life, and to have it abundantly. And that trust, that faith, it manifests itself differently according to the needs of the moment. If you're lacking in health, in provision, in guidance, God can meet or surpass any of our wildest expectations. If we simply take time to pray and offer whatever degree of faith that we have. It might even be a conflicted faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's okay. Our Heavenly Father will honor whatever we are able to give as a token of our willingness to trust Him, to risk that perhaps that the gospel that we say that we believe in is actually true. If you find yourself at odds with God, fighting a temptation that seems to get you every time, unconvinced that God is willing to do anything for you, or waking up to the first time that you've recently discovered that you've been failing God consistently in some way, shape, or form, well, then know this, that God's mercy and kindness is limitless. It's as simple as asking God to forgive you, being honest about the Bible's or the Spirit's assessment of where you really stand, instead of trying to cover it up or explain it away. And you might not even be convinced that what you're doing is actually wrong. Well, then pray for the Holy Spirit to show you where there is a problem and to grant you the humility necessary to accept God's assessment of the situation. None of us should be so sure of ourselves that we are unwilling to learn, to grow, and to change our minds as the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And when you've discovered just how loving, gentle and generous our triune Lord is, rejoice. Have faith enough to give thanks, to sing songs of praise, and demonstrate your joy and gratitude in a tangible way. Again, we aren't just intellectually pleased when something good happens. We're ecstatic. We might do a silly little dance. We might weep tears of joy. We might give a present to someone else because we want to share that wonderful blessing that we too have received. Express how much God's grace, His blessings, and His forgiveness really mean to you. Let your whole being get involved as much as you are able. We are so blessed to have this little respite of joy in the midst of our Lenten discipline. In fact, Sundays remain feast days during the season of Lent. You may want to take a little time to celebrate after church just how much you love and appreciate the treasure of all that Jesus has done for you. And don't forget that every good and perfect gift that we have in this life and in the life to come comes from the one who created the heavenly lights. So take time to be grateful. Prayerfully and penitently rely on God's grace. And don't let your faith stay stuck in your own head. Let it permeate your heart and share it openly and freely with others. Let us pray. O God, you have caused this world to shine with the brightness of the true light, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we who have known this mystery, that the light of that light on earth, that we may also enjoy him perfectly in heaven, where with you and the Holy Spirit he lives and reigns, one God in glory everlasting. Amen.